Howdly doodly neighborinos.
Hello, yes, welcome to the Raised Online for Life, also known as Raffle podcast. I'm your host, Cotton Squab, joined by the other host, Poochie. Say hi, Poochie.
Yellow.
And we are here to talk at length, arguably too long, about people's relationship to the internet and the internet's ongoing impact on individuals' lives. So we intend to look at just things that have happened on the internet, just strange things that keep happening over and over, different people that have left their mark online, generally from less of a research sort of journalist standpoint, like has been done kind of a lot, and just looking at like people's experiences, their anecdotes, their subjective reality of the internet. Our episodes will typically be ones that are like this, where you've got somebody just kind of taking a walk down the proverbial memory lane and just sort of going through what their first experiences online, you know, where were their digital stomping grounds back in the day, and kind of what that's done to them over time. Where are they now? Where has that brought them? And then episodes that don't have some sort of guest for us to talk about, we, your hosts, are going to pick a thing, a specific thing from the internet, and just talk about it as much as we can with as little research as we can get away with. I've been on the internet for quite some time, but I'm not going to pretend like I am one of the oldest internet users that I've been around since its inception or anything. I'm, I guess, somewhat typical, but maybe more online than a lot of people. Do you think that's something relatable to you? A fair description of yourself also?
Yeah, I would agree with that, I think. I could probably be more online than I am. Do you find myself often feeling like I live under a rock lately? But that's because I just don't particularly like short form video, so I'm kind of missing out on the whole TikTok experience.
Yeah, I sympathize with that. I'll second that for sure. I do, you know, loathe short form video has kind of overtaken platforms that were not originally designed for that, which frustrates me. Although, it's a little bit interesting. It's kind of a return to form for a place like YouTube, where if you are moderately ancient like we are, there was like a 9-minute cap on YouTube videos. Do you remember that?
I do. And you had to be, I think it was a user for X amount of time before they would lift that cap. Or there was a few different eras that YouTube had.
I remember, and it is possible that I was just ignorant to most of their policy, but to me it seemed like there was a period at the beginning, sort of between their inception, which I want to say was 2006, and like 2009, where I don't think there was a way around the cap. There was no loophole. There was no like certified account age. And so if you wanted to watch a dubiously uploaded like episode of a show or a movie or something,
that was everywhere.
That was painstakingly chopped up into 9 segments and posted as like a playlist
in like the crunchiest quality imaginable.
Oh Lord, yeah. Nobody was expected to have 1080p at this point, really.
God, no. This is maybe even pre that really being much of anywhere. I think this was solidly like 720p days.
720 was like, that was the good shit at that point.
Yeah.
And it took for goddamned ever to load.
It did.
But
back in my day.
One thing that old YouTube had that modern YouTube does not have anymore was that if you wanted to watch a longer video that your internet couldn't support like all at once, if you had crap internet like I did, you could like queue the video up and just leave the window open.
Buffering, like actual buffering.
Yep. It would buffer all the way to the end, effectively like downloading a version of the video temporarily, and you could watch it without interruptions, but you can't do that anymore.
Nope.
So going all the way back to my earliest online memories, I remember when we got our first like internet connected computer. It was a Sony Vaio. It was 2001.
Oh shit.
And we were in the Best Buy with my tech savvy brother. Again, this was like early 2000s, so take that as you will. And we were looking at computers, and when we picked one out, and he said, "This thing has more memory than you'll ever need."
Yeah.
That thing had half a gigabyte of RAM.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And that was all you needed.
Yeah.
I think my laptop that I'm currently using is at or around par with 16 gigs.
That's where my current build is at. My fucking new phone has 8 gigs of RAM, and that's just wild to me.
Are you saying it's wild that it's just simply too much?
It's just like, I don't know. This is my first phone upgrade in many years, and things have gotten kind of good. But I'm still much more of a computer person.
When I have bought my smartphones historically, I almost exclusively got LGs until they stopped making them. And I don't know why I did that, because every time they would put a processor that was objectively too powerful to wander around with in your pocket and way too much RAM. And so doing anything on it would pretty much overheat it.
Oh my God.
Several of their models that I bought would overheat in such a way that it would desolder some of the components from itself. Yeah.
That's not okay.
It was bad. And their screens, historically, love to get burned in. They're addicted to burning in.
Oh, no.
But I still stuck with them until they stopped manufacturing the motherfuckers.
Wild.
I don't necessarily want to revive the iPhone versus Android debate, because that's mostly a moot point anymore.
Sure.
But, oh, my God. 10 to 15 years ago, that was, like, the battlegrounds.
I think that's still thing, right? Like, I think the kids are still pressed about it.
I mean, some adults even are, but it's not the, like,
NWO that kind of thing.
Yeah, that ongoing debate is not the cultural, it doesn't have a chokehold on society the way it did a decade and a half ago. I'm looking right now just to see how much RAM my current computer. I mean, I guess it is technically a computer.
Yeah.
It's only got 6 gigabytes. But I swear one of those LGs that I had 16.
That's ridiculous.
Fucking wild. Yeah, okay, so we got this Sony Vaio, half a gig of RAM, and it was the kind of thing that I have memories, and this isn't going to make sense the way I'm saying it, or it might, but at the time I couldn't have told you what it was, but with, like, retrospect, I can... My brother had, like, Steam and shit installed on there, but I wouldn't have been able to tell you that at the time. And he had, like, I guess Half-Life and Counter-Strike on there. So it was sufficient to play, like, that, because it was a computer of the time. But then moving forward, it was not sufficient to play, like, Spore when that eventually came out. And we never upgraded that computer for a long, long time. So I just was like, I wanted to be a PC gamer, but our little broke rig...
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It happens.
I remember, actually, I think I may have accidentally lied. I said that was our first internet-connected machine, but I just remembered that in a different room of our house, we had an older, like, fatback computer that had, like, AIM and stuff on it. So that's probably the first stuff I did online was just, like, Instant Messenger.
Yeah.
What was your messenger of choice at that point?
I was an AOL guy, but, I used AIM. Like, there was the AOL Messenger and then AIM, right?
Yes.
Or am I having a brain fart? No.
No, that's correct. Because it stood for AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah.
But then the alternative one was the MSN Messenger, which...
Yeah, I had MSN too, but I didn't use it as much.
Yeah, I think I flipped and flopped back and forth between whatever the people I knew at school were using.
Basically same.
One of the two, and I don't remember which, had a very rudimentary chatbot, and it had different flavors. There was like a Santa bot that you could tell your wish list to, or like a like a Tooth Fairy bot or something, you know, something like that. And it, obviously this was in excess of 20 years ago, so it wasn't nearly as complex as like something like ChatGPT It wasn't even as complex as like the predictive text on your phone.
Yeah, that's kind of a heck of an idiot. Like,
yeah, it was like, I think they're called Markov chains is what the technical term is, like computer science-y term.
Yeah, it's probably not a heck of an idiot.
Yeah, but it was odd because you could tell that it maybe derived some meaning from one or two of the words that you gave it, but they all had this quirk where if you asked them about the Muffin Man, that was like an automatic kill switch to where they would think you were a bad person. They would say, that's not a very appropriate thing to say. And I don't know if that's the only trigger word that the bots had, but it was certainly something that I liked to do because it made them angry. Did you ever play the game Facade?
I did not.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, so this was another early chatbot-y type thing, but I didn't discover it until it was essentially a meme in like 2012 or so. But it was originally like a student project from 2005, let's say. And it was a game. It's a first person game, but all of the models are basically just like one polygon with a PNG attached to it. So you can type into the text box, and it's pretty sophisticated for the time, the character's ability to respond to what you're saying. But it had another quirk a lot like that, with like an automatic maximum angry setting where if you type the word melon in, the characters like stop engaging with you completely and they
put
you out of the apartment. Oh, it's fabulous. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. It's pause the podcast, find a few minutes to just watch these fucking MS Paint bastards kick you out of the apartment over a melon. After that, there's only so much you can do with messengers. So I started to discover the likes of Funny Junk and Newgrounds and Albino Black Sheep. Were you on places like that also?
Oh, absolutely. I would actually like to do a bit of a deep dive into Albino Black Sheep at some point.
For sure.
Because it's still around, which is crazy. Super cool that that's such a relic, you know. Newgrounds, of course. I mean, who wasn't on Newgrounds as a kid?
People that are sane now.
That's debatable.
There's a Venn diagram to be drawn there, but I'm too lazy to draw it. Yeah, Newgrounds, classic. Albino Black Sheep, classic. If you don't know what these are, they're sites that held what would have been known as Flash games. Those still exist, but Flash is kind of obsolete.
Yeah, she's dead.
Yeah, Flash is a little obsolete. There are extensions you can get that will add its functionality back to your browser. But the reason is that most of what you could do with Flash, which was kind of an animation software, I'm not exactly sure what Flash was, and I've used it a little bit. It was a thing made by Adobe, and you had to install it to your computer, but it worked with your browser, and it made games possible, but it also made like animations and stuff possible. So you could go on Flash sites to play games or watch stupid little videos. Unbelievably, Albino Black Sheep, like you were talking about a minute ago, looks remarkably similar to how it did like 20 years ago.
It sure does. It stayed consistent.
And there's classic examples of Flash stuff, like the Ultimate Showdown. Homestar Runner is a I would say famous, but I don't know exactly how mainstream it is. There was a website that I frequented in like elementary school and middle school called onemorelevel.com, and they would update their front page of games like every Thursday or every Tuesday or something like that. And I mean, at the time it was just like, cool, free games. But like thinking back, it's like, who was out here developing this shit? I mean, obviously somebody was, but I guess you made scraps from advertisements. But I guess a lot of it was just, like, for funsies.
I mean, yeah, for sure it was for funsies. Like, it was, like, a real community, it felt like, of just making shit because it was easy and accessible to do so.
I mean, a lot of the Flash animators have gone on to become professional animators like Oni plays was a Flash Newgrounds animator specifically, I think, behind Leo and Satan. Am I right about that?
I'm not positive.
Yeah, Oni, and that's like almost 15 years ago by now. And now he does Smiling Friends on Adult
Swim. Yeah.
So that's not everybody that did that kind of stuff found the same success, but it was a pathway to the industry. And so it really paid off, I guess, for those early adopters to be able to sit down and work with Flash stuff and be able to post online. And this was pre-social media. So if you found this, it was typically because you went to a friend's house and sat around and just looked at computer.
A whole lot of that. Yeah, like our computer was like in our... We had an open plan ranch built in like the 50s, and our computer was in the dining room. So that was pretty weird, because like we'd be watching weird fucking shit on YouTube. My stepmom would just walk by and be like, "There's something wrong with you kids." Like, I'm sorry, you just don't understand Charlie the Unicorn.
I somehow managed to avoid Charlie the Unicorn until I was in college. Can you believe that?
That's kind of insane.
It's almost impressive. I wish I hadn't broke down and watched it. I wish I still hadn't seen it.
Yeah, but you have. Have you seen the most recent installation that is like a fucking hour long?
No.
I have.
Maybe if we ever set up a Patreon, we could do like a riff track style, like a Mystery Science Theater, like live reaction. That'd be funny. No, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't watch those until college. There's a lot of well-known animations from that same time period, like Salad Fingers. I don't think I ever really watched that. Do you know Weeble Stuff?
Yes. Oh my god. Weeble Stuff kind of relates to my earlier story about the family computer being in the dining room.
Go for it.
So my buddy and I were watching the video for the song Narwhals.
Oh, yes.
You may recall, they are swimming in the ocean, causing a commotion. Because they are so awesome.
They're the Jedi of the sea.
They'll stop Cthulhu eating you. I hate how much of this I still know, and the reason for this is my father walked by, and he's like, "Hey, narwhals, motherfucking narwhals. That's catchy." That's what he thought it said. So he said it as his ringtone, and it was like that until like 2019.
Holy shit. That's dedication to the bit. Semi-related, my friend, when we were, I think, in 7th or 8th grade, he set his voicemail thing to be custom, and it was like him saying, "Hello, hello." And he left it like that until 4 years ago.
What a dick.
But
that's hilarious.
Obviously he was like, you know, we were middle schoolers at the time, and so his voice was completely different, and it still got me sometimes.
Oh my god.
So that was one of the things, at least about Newgrounds animations specifically, was that with them being in the Flash format, they weren't like downloadable videos that you could just put on your computer. It didn't work like that, but people still used unregistered Hypercam 2 to steal the videos from Newgrounds and then put them on YouTube. And that made people so mad, which I understand, but I did like watching the shit on YouTube sometimes. And occasionally they would upload to both, and that was nice. I remember specifically, there was a guy that I followed on Newgrounds that did like video game parody stuff. I'm not going to name drop for a number of reasons, but in one of his songs, he specifically like calls out like the YouTube ripoff thingamajig. And so I know that was a point of contention. What was some of the earliest stuff you remember watching on YouTube?
Oh, on YouTube. Oh, man. So definitely like the kitty cat dance.
Oh shit. And an instant dance. Cat?
I'm a kitty cat. Pretty legendary. And like you already brought up Salad Fingers. We already hit Charlie the Unicorn.
This would have been a little bit later, but do you remember Perry Grip?
I don't think so.
Similar ballpark to Weeble Stuff, but it was I'm trying to think of some of the more popular ones, like chimpanzee riding on a Segway, chimpanzee riding on a Segway.
I don't know this. That's awesome.
Or baby monkey riding on a pig, mm-hmm. baby monkey. He was just taking viral videos, mm-hmm. like, you guessed, a chimpanzee riding on a Segway or a baby monkey riding backwards on a pig. And he would just make a song about it. It was kind of like auto-tune the news, but usually he had an animation with his. And he's still making stuff as of recently, which is cool. Auto-tune the news was... The very idea of a viral video is... That's something that you didn't really start hearing about until probably 2008, maybe? Does that sound right?
Somewhere in the mid-aughts, yeah.
Yeah, pushing into 2010... And then there was this, like, gold rush of...
Oh, yeah. Everyone wanted to be on, like, freaking Ellen.
You can't talk about the internet without talking about online game.
Video game?
Videos game.
Videos game.
I think I discovered RuneScape was... RuneScape or Club Penguin was probably my first encounter with, like, a... "Quote unquote MMO."
Mm-hmm.
What did you? What were your games of choice?
I was a Club Penguin kid for sure. Like an old school Club Penguin kid. I joined before Disney bought it.
Same.
And I was pissed when Disney bought it.
I think I was a little pissed, but I also continued to play or started to play again.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not gonna get into it because it's really. Harry, but it's a shame that all that shit went down with Club Penguin Rewritten. I don't know if there's an alternative remake happening, but
I know almost nothing about that. That could be an episode topic for later on. Did you ever play anything like Gaia Online or like Maple Story? Oh,
totally. Totally. I was super into Gaia Online. Wasn't as into Maple Story. I like somehow didn't know that one existed. But very briefly, there was a game called Maple Story 2. I was obsessed with it. I played a pretty good chunk of it, and then no one else did. So it's not around anymore.
Well, frig. I had a Maple Story account. I don't think I used it much. And then Gaia Online, I really only played for like a summer or two.
That's fair.
But I do remember, and if you are a big Gaia head out there, this'll tell you exactly what time frame I was on the platform. But I remember right around when I made my account, there was a promotion going on for chocolate Skittles.
Oh yeah.
And then shortly thereafter, there was a promotion going on for the Scion, the cool Toyota.
Those partnerships are so funny.
Yeah. But I don't think that I got as much mileage out of the MMOs like that were kind of like a chat room masquerading as a video game.
Yeah, it really was just like an outfit creator, right? But, you know, I had a lot of fun with it. People were weird. It was an experience.
Right. No, I mean, I do, regret's not the right word.
No.
But I do wish that I had engaged with that more. I think a lot of the draw to it was like anime fandom stuff, and I just hadn't really watched much anime at the time. So, I mean, it is what it is. What about Neopets?
Neopets. Another one that I think I made my first account in like 2004.
I made my first account December last year.
Extremely fair, but you're a more active player than me, which is to say I haven't played it in a few years, but I might get back into it.
Well, let me know if you do, because I took a brief hiatus, but it's a ton of fun. Again, it's one of those things I wish I'd played back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of the Flash games for it are super dead now, which sucks.
there's an extension called Ruffle that'll reinstate some of the...
Sick. I'm going to grab that.
Oh, fuck. I can't believe I almost forgot about Webkinz.
Oh, yeah. I had Webkinz.
I had Webkinz. I got a Webkinz for Christmas, but that was the only one I had. And I remember playing a little bit. Something about the aesthetic was a little scary.
Oh, it's frightening.
Yeah. It was like all the frustrating parts of a Tamagotchi.
Pretty much.
And now with the retrospect of having played Neopets, it was just a 100% like knock at that, except they thought they could also sell some like not that good Beanie Babies to promote it.
Aw, I still have my first Webkinz. I love it.
I do not remember what mine was, but I do remember that story from the internet of somebody who had, I think it was a Webkinz, that they would soak in milk.
No. I don't want to think about it because that's the one I have. The one from that story is the one I have. And they would soak their Webkinz in milk, and then they would suck the milk out of it, and then they would like slam the Webkinz against the ground or some shit. And then they forgot about it, and it got really gross because, you know, milk.
Didn't it like solidify?
Yeah, it got like real fucking gnarly. And I think their mom was like, what the fuck is this?
The version of the story in my head is a little different because I thought that they continued to play with it after it had turned to yogurt.
Oh no. Oh no.
Either someone at their school or a sibling was making fun of them for still playing it or something. I might be wrong.
I hope they weren't sucking the milk out of it after it was already really crusty, but they probably were.
His name was Cheese.
Oh, I feel ill.
So I think that any discussion of internet and internet culture would be incomplete without talking about the meme.
The meme?
The meme.
I think it's pronounced meme.
Oh, Lord.
Got into an argument with someone about that once. She was so convinced it was meme. Girl also had a Forever Alone guy on her binder, like her school binder, not like a Thomas Jefferson binder.
Oof. Forever Alone binder, but it is like the Thomas Jefferson binder. Oh my God. If I met somebody that their binder was like printed with
on it, boss.
Rage faces.
Oh my God. Raging at the titties.
That would be lay epic.
Oh no. Epic meme.
I mean, obviously at this point we know that it's supposed to be meme, but at the time, if you didn't, the way you could figure it out is that the word is based on the word gene, like genetic. So the extension of that would be that something is mimetic. It comes from Richard Dawkins, I'm pretty sure. And it was basically this notion that an idea can exist like a gene, a piece of DNA. And so an idea is a meme. That's like a singular unit of thought, basically. And that you could transfer memes between people through communication. This was irrelevant to the idea of the internet. The idea was that like genes, the ones that were popular or strong or survival of the fittest or whatever would be the ones that propagated and continued to exist, and the memes that were less fit would die off. Take that with a grain of salt. I'm not endorsing it or saying I believe it, but that's my understanding of the origin of the word meme. And then at some point it came to mean funny images on the internet. And the earliest memes were called demotivational posters. And to understand this, you have to understand motivational posters, which were this like corporate deco thing. And it was like a big black frame, and there was just like a landscape photograph inside. But then on the black frame was printed an inspirational word and then a small description of that word. And it would be like integrity, doing the right thing even when no one's watching, or it was some shit like that. And it's a picture of a mountain lion. Thinking about it now, it's almost completely nonsense. The image almost had nothing to do with the inspirational poster. I don't know the origin of those.
The original inspirational
posters. It is very funny to see them out like in the wild.
I mean, I feel like they were like all over schools back in the day. I don't know if they still are. I haven't been in a K-12 in a few years.
It depends on the school. The school I used to work at had a couple, but they were in like the admin office. They weren't just in the hallways.
Okay, because like the schools I went to, they were like everywhere. Right.
And that probably also had a lot to do with, like, the time period of when we were in school.
Oh, totally.
But they do still exist. I don't know if they're still being made.
But they're still out there.
But then the demotivational poster was like that, but cynical. And so it would be the same exact format. Usually it was the same exact type of photograph. And then instead of like an inspirational word, it would be something mean, like stupidity. And the text would be like doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so those were like the earliest memes, and you would find one, it would excite you to no end. You would plop that sucker in an email and send it to like as many people as the emails you had. And that was another thing, was email like chain messages.
So the era of demotivational posters kind of bled into the funny junk era. I mean, there was a lot of them on funny junk. And when mid late 2000s, I would have been in middle school. And I would print out like memes I thought were funny off of there. And I kept them in a folder that I brought with me to school. And we would like pass them around. And if people thought they were really good, they would be like, can I keep this meme? And so one day, dude got a little too rowdy with my funny folder, which is what we called it. And he did get the funny folder confiscated and got me detention. So Billy, if you're out there, you're a jerk.
That is truly outstanding. That sounds like some shit out of like a post-apocalyptic, like
apocalyptic. Well, I mean, like the way the memes are being like harvested.
Yeah, or well, no, I mean like post-apocalypse is like the remnants of our society is printed out memes.
No, yeah, this folder from 2008.
My embarrassing thing that I printed out and shared with the class, I was in middle school and I had this picture that was taken of me from like a birthday party or something. And I would open it in MS Paint and just draw new clothes on myself to make myself look like video game characters.
Oh.
And then I would print them out and be like, look at the drawing I did.
That's sweet.
Oh, God. I'm suffering remembering that I did that.
It happens. Oh, Lord.
I guess it paid off. I still design graphics. You got to start somewhere.
Truly.
So, yeah, I mean, the demotivational poster stuff, that was like the prototype for the first run of image macros, which is what they were called at the time, that I remember people really using. Like, I remember funny junk and I remember demotivational, but after that came, it was a wave of either pictures of a real person with their background removed or an illustration. And it was superimposed on like a sunburst of different colors. And usually the colors related to the content of the image. And so there were different characters that meant different things, like almost grammatically. Like there was Bad Luck Brian, which was just a school portrait that was unflattering. And the text, it was impact font, white text with a black outline. And the top text, it was text literally at the top part of the image, would say it was the setup for a joke. And then the bottom text was the delivery. You know, that was the payoff. So it would be like, if it was Bad Luck Brian, it was understood that this is just an unfortunate kid. This is somebody that had bad stuff happen to him. So it would be like, finally pays off his car and then like a tree falls on it. Or so, you know, something like that. Usually it was funnier than that.
Yeah.
A little bit, but not much.
A little bit, yeah.
And there were different ones of these characters. And
there was the one with like the girl, and it was always just like kind of, I mean, it's an unflattering photo of a young woman, teen girl or something, I'm not sure. And she, like, everything was about how she didn't know anything about music. Like, dumb girl, doesn't know metal band.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to do the one with the unflattering picture of a girl that has books. And it was Irma Gerd, I love Gerd.
Oh, yes. That poor girl.
And that just completely rewired a lot of millennials' brains, because they still say Irma Gerd.
Oh, definitely.
People in their 30s love saying Irma Gerd. So yeah, that was a thing. And then alongside that came what is known as the rage comic, which generally it was about two characters. One was the rage face and one was the troll face. And the troll face was the face of the person pulling a prank, and the rage face was the one that was being pranked. And it was typically four panels in a 2x2 arrangement. One of the characters was doing or saying something to enrage the other character. There were other versions of this that came along.
There were so many.
So fucking many. Yeah. Of these guys that came along. There was
born out of that hell is the troll face.
And troll face is kind of the only one that exists anymore. There was the I lied. There was forever alone, like you mentioned before. There's deal with it. And of course, you know, listening to this without the context, you're just like, he's just saying words. But they were like, these are the names of like specific archetypes of little illustrated dude, and you could just grab them and copy and paste them into your own comic, and it was grand old time. And kind of right after that, we start seeing postmodern memes. It was kind of a lot of like meta type jokes and like anti-humor, and kind of to bridge the gap was like LOL XD random culture.
Yeah
you could just say the word taco. Totally. And make a whole group of scene kids start busting at the seams.
Yeah, the whole, like, Han and Z, like, the I made you a cookie, but I eat it and shit.
Do you remember the rabbit, the bunny, the mean bunny? What's they called?
Mean bunny. Not for me, the squirrel.
No, they're just pictures, mean and a bunny. Lot of people had them as fridge magnets.
Oh, Happy Bunny.
Yeah, I guess Happy Bunny. And it was just a picture of a rabbit saying something crude.
It would be something like, wow, everyone is so stupid, and it's just this little rabbit. Like, literally stuff like that.
It was the same energy as don't talk to me until I've had my coffee.
Yeah, maybe a little meaner than that even, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of threats of violence, like...
There was a lot of violence. Some boys are stupid, throw rocks at them kind of shit.
Understand my sarcasm or I will kill you horribly.
Yeah.
The LOL XD random stuff was popular. Dank memes. This was a period of time where all you had to do to get a laugh out of somebody was say, like, Danny DeVito or Shrek, Waluigi, play air horns. That's all it took. It's just, like, referencing those things. And that kind of made way for... Well, I mean, at this point, social media existed, right? And that's a non-zero part of this equation.
Definitely. I mean, it's had a massive impact.
It would be interesting to talk more educatedly about the direct effect that social media has had on memes. Because I remember there was a period of time where there is no way for me to say this without it being cringe, so I'm just going to have to say it. I was something of a troll myself.
Oh boy.
On Facebook, no less. And one of the things that really innovated my ability to troll on Facebook was the invention of a website called myfacewin.com. And it was literally just this repository of faces usually taken from pop culture. You could just react to what somebody was saying with a face, and it was just like, my face win, I'm lying. And it's shorthand for saying, this is how that makes me feel.
There's also like that feel win and that face win,
that feel win. And then so the rage comics, the troll face is one of the ones that kind of survived, and then the that feel win guy, he was originally known as that feel win no gf, and it's just a poorly drawn feller and he's sad looking. But then he came to be known as Wojak for some reason. I don't exactly know where that came from. And now there's all sorts of Jacks. There's Soy Jacks, and it's usually used as a shorthand to say, this is what I think of the guy that I'm arguing against, and he's wrong because he's ugly.
Yeah, frequently, isn't it?
What about Vine? You got a favorite Vine?
Roadwork ahead.
I sure hope it does.
Like, I say that to myself every fucking time I see one of the signs, so I think it's gotta win.
Yeah, I think that one has probably impacted my personal life the most, but I think that the Vine with the most cultural impact is probably This Bitch Empty Yeet.
Oh, definitely.
Because yeet is just
I can word. Change the fucking cultural lexicon.
Yeah. Yeet, it's just a word. Like, you invented a word. I wonder if that person that was in that video is aware of the fact that they changed the world.
I mean, they have to be, right?
And it's yeet, yoat, to throw something with veracity. And that's outside of Urban Dictionary.
Yes.
Which is a website that has unofficial definitions for words that people kind of know what they mean. Often it's a joke.
Frequently it's complete nonsense, yeah.
Do you have an Urban Dictionary page that you know in your mind? I have at least one.
I don't know if I look fresh in my mind.
There's one that the word they're defining is porm with an M. And the definition is just like, this was a typo and you were looking for something else.
Mm. Yeah.
That's probably not verbatim, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
And then Vine sort of made way for apps like Musical.ly, which I did not use. And it was pretty short-lived, I think. And then TikTok.
Didn't it turn into TikTok or something like that?
I think so, but I am not confident enough to say yes outright.
Fair.
Musical.ly and then TikTok. There was, oh God, what was that app? It might have been Musical.ly, where you could just type in a phrase and it would text to speech that phrase to a song. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
Well, I mean,
is that, wait, text? That's not the shit that they used for like the Can't Hug Every Cat song, right? Like the Songify shit?
No, that's like auto-tune the news type thing. Yeah, I'm talking about funny jump puff, eat a Pepsi. Oh,
I have no idea what you're talking about. Literally no clue.
It was, I think it's called Diddy. The thing I'm talking about is called Diddy.
Oh.
And it was basically, there were songs that already existed on the app. And it was somehow programmed in such a way that you could type in text and it would do its best to match that text to the rhythm and like melody of a song. There was you know that famous like Italy song from like the Spider-Man pizza delivery game? You would probably know it if you heard it, but there's a ditty set to that song that's
oh, man, no.
So fucking funny. Oh, God, I think about
that. Oh, my God.
Constantly. So, yeah, I mean, there's short form video and then TikTok, which has arguably devoured the internet. Our timeline jumps around kind of a lot. But as we said at the beginning, that's kind of the format of this, is just like we are talking about it as we experienced it. This is just remembering shit as we think it happened. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that I did on the internet or that was important to me that I just completely forgot to talk about.
Oh, totally. But, you know, we're just getting into it, so we'll have plenty of time to get into it more.
We are human people and not AI. So, yeah, I mean, if there's anything that we missed, feel free to shoot us an email. And we have an email set up, and that email is rofflepodcast@AOL.com. That has been our look down memory lane, our experiences online. I know that we kind of rambled a little bit. Not everything was in exact chronological order. If you have your own experiences you'd like to share with us, you can send those to us at rofflepodcast@AOL.com. We thought it would be really funny to have an AOL domain email address. If you are someone who is discovering our show via Escape This Podcast and you are like, why am I listening to an hour of this and it's not even the name that they said it was? All I can tell you is I am sorry. Things have changed since we recorded that episode. We discovered that Chronically Online Chronicles, which was the name we wanted to use, was a name that already had like 6 different podcasts under it. And we appreciate the fact that you listened to the end of this to hear the call out for yourself. We hope that you will join us next time where we talk about fan art and, specifically, people who started off making fan art, like we mentioned a little bit in this video, who have moved on to the professional, not necessarily indie scene, or they are now making art in such a way that that is their career. They are able to support themselves with that. Tune in next time. That's what we've got for you on episode 2. Poochie, you got any closing thoughts for us?
I do not. Just one question. I mean, AOL, it's hilarious, right? But, you know, we're just staying up to date.
Oh, yeah. I'm using Internet Explorer right now. What are you talking about?
Yes, totally.
Recorded via Skype.
Oh, yes. That's how we get it so crunchy.
Email us at rawfulpodcast@AOL.com. We will see you next time. And stay online. Do not touch the grass. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Craig, you stop it. Rawful the Podcast is created by and starring Cotton Squab and Poochie. Logo created by Cotton Squab. Intro and outro music is Pookatory and Friends by Kevin MacLeod. If you'd like to support us, you can follow our social media by following the links in the episode description. And if you have your own internet stories you'd like to send along, you can share those with us by emailing rawfulpodcast@AOL.com. Thanks, as always, for listening.